Matthew chapter number 8. Let's look at verse number 5 tonight. We'll read through verse number 13. We'll have a word of prayer. And I'll try not to be lengthy tonight. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Luke's account. Luke makes that statement in Luke chapter 7. He calls him unto death. He was near death. Matthew here says, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, and having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, listen to this, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now that's an incredible statement coming out of the mouth of the Savior. And then you look at verse number 11, and he says, And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. God, what a blessing. What a delight to sit here and listen to your servant expound the scriptures to us tonight. Help me, I pray, Lord, to be a blessing this evening. Quicken the mind, loosen the tongue. May the dear, sweet Holy Spirit, God, work in our hearts and in our lives through the moments we spend together here. For surely, Lord, we know without you we can do nothing. And we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the honor, we'll give you the glory for what you will do. For we ask and pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The scripture that we're looking at tonight was a centurion, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, understand. A centurion in the Roman army was basically an individual who had responsibility, who had under his leadership 100 people, 100 men. And this centurion, as you'll read this particular account, go over into the 7th chapter of the book of Luke and read the first 10 verses there of Luke's account, you'll find that this centurion was definitely a good man. There's no doubt about that. He was certainly respected by the Jews. Luke's account tells the fact that he was even building them a synagogue. And so he was undoubtedly very, very close to this one who was his servant. And as you look at the story as it unfolds here, Luke tells us that the servant was ready to die. He was nigh unto death. And so this was a need. It was an urgent need. And it was a great need. And so the centurion, he felt so strongly about this that somehow he had come to understand because of the fact that he had sent some of the Jewish leadership there to him, he had come to understand that the only one that could help in this particular situation was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says to him, Lord, I need your help. He's grievously ill. And will you come and will you heal him? And I find it very, very interesting here that immediately, what does Jesus say? He says, I'll do it. I will heal him. I will come and I will heal him. And so as we look at the account here in the Scripture tonight, I want to give you just a couple of thoughts that I think we need to be more mindful of and we need to be more really aware of when it comes to this matter of faith. We've got to constantly and we've got to continually, people, continue to build our faith. Don't ever think that we have come to the place in our life, wherever our life at might be at that given point, that our faith is sufficient. Grow your faith. Continue to build your faith. Continue to always recognize. Always recognize. Faith comes by hearing. And how does it come? It comes through the Word of God. One of the things that I am really troubled about in the day and age in which we live is that we have less and less and less and less and less reading of the Word of God in our homes at the old family altar that was so prevalent back in the day when my wife and I, when we were raising our children, to where that family altar was a part of our daily life. But because of the hurry and the rush and all the rest of it that we've got going on in our world, and I confess, we probably are just as guilty as anybody else, but you must take time. You must take time to build your faith, and you build your faith through the Word of God. We haven't arrived, in other words. We talk about faith promise, mission giving. And yet, how many really have captured the significance, the blessing of faith promise, mission giving? When you look and you see the need that we have in relationship to evangelism, and we see a couple of 300 missionaries going across the United States of America, as I said in the preacher's meeting this morning, going from the East Coast to the West Coast, trying to raise support. Do you know that it's 3,000 miles between the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean? And here are these dear godly missionaries going across this country from East Coast to West Coast, across the continent, trying to raise support. And then they go to the mission field for 4 years, and then they come back and they have a year furlough, and we expect them to visit all of the churches that they're supporting, and we expect them to get rest, and expect them to get their medical things taken care of, and on and on and on. Beloved, that's impossible. It's impossible. So what's the problem? The problem is that they have to try and do that because the only place where doors are opening, and that's where they want to go to raise their support so they can get to where God's called them. But we need to see here, there's a wonderful, wonderful truth that God, I believe, is showing us in this passage of Scripture. And that is that we can have a great faith, but we need to continually grow our faith. Look, if you will, here at verse number 5 and verse number 6 with me for just a few moments. And let's see what we can bring out of these two verses here. When we read in that 5th verse, and when Jesus was entered into the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now what I see there, I see a request being made. I see a man, a centurion, who has 100 men under his leadership, and he's coming to the Savior, and he's saying, I have a request. Well, what that says to me then, if this worked for a centurion, when I have a request, when I have a great need, I also can go to the Savior. That is, Brother Jerry, not rocket science. That's just common, ordinary horse sense. I came to the conclusion, after I sat under the gospel for just a little while, I came to the conclusion that I was lost and I was on my way to a Christless eternity. And so I came to the realization I needed to be saved. And the way I was going to get saved was I was going to come to the Savior. And so I came to Him and He saved me. And it was on the basis of a very, very little, small amount of faith. And I'm thankful tonight that I can say that faith that I had then is certainly increased to the faith I have today. But when we have these needs, you may be here tonight, you may have a great need. One of the things I've been praying about today is the lady who works at the motel where Dr. Jameson and Eliana Hirschstein, who is in Indianapolis today, and she's being tested because she lost half of the blood in her body. She had to have an infusion of blood of 4 pints. That's a lot of blood. She's scared to death, she told me the other day when I talked to her at the desk. And incidentally, I got to tell you this. The lady that's there tonight, I chatted with her for a few minutes, telling her where I was coming and so forth. Her two boys ride the buses, and she says they love it. Made my day. I love the bus ministry. Amen. God bless the bus workers. 3 cheers for the bus workers. Amen. But you might be here today, and you're dealing with an illness, you know. And there's so many things, you know, that we deal with. Various problems, various issues that are always coming into our lives. I got emails today, different individuals. I got an email today. One of the young men at First Baptist Church of Rosemont, now 40 years of age, his wife died today. She had been ill, been very sick. The Lord took her home today. He's dealing with that. He's dealing with that right now today. You might have some issues that you're dealing with. Now, what you want to understand here is that if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been one of the greatest relationships you can know in the world, and you're out of your mind if you don't bring what you have need of to Him. You need to see that. You need to recognize that. Financial needs. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. But I learned as I read these two verses, you know, Lord, help me to be as wise as this Roman soldier was. To where when I have needs, I will continue to bring those needs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of how we are going to think through it, as Doc was telling us in the first session this evening. We have needs. We need to bring those needs to the Lord Jesus. And it's amazing how God does and works in our life. He was talking about his home that he's been living in for 23 years. When Ellie and I went to Rosemont, we didn't have a house. Matter of fact, that was one of the things I told God why we shouldn't go. They don't have a house. I don't know. When I moved in, when I drove into Rosemont, on June the 17th, 1967, and met Arnie Peterson at the corner of Highway 3 and County Road 42 at the Standard Service Station, I didn't know where our house was at because they didn't have a house. They had rented a house for $125 a month. Now, we paid for it. They rented it. Now, that was an interesting house. The first winter, it was 50 degrees in our children's bedrooms. She would pile blankets on it and coats and paper bags and everything else. Well, thank God that the guy who owned the house, he sold the house the next summer. And God had blessed the church to where now we were no longer 17 to 20 people. We were up until, maybe the 60s or 70s. And so the church then decided, well, we'll buy a parsonage. And they did. They bought a parsonage. 3 bedrooms, 1 bath. We lived in that from 1968 to 1976. And then in 1976, the church built a new house for us. 5 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms. Walkout basement, 2-car garage. It was wonderful. Wonderful. And then on our 30th anniversary, as pastor of the church gave us the house. So what I'm simply saying here is as we understand and we'll operate from the principle of faith, that when I went there, I didn't have a house, but I trusted God for at least some place to live. I wasn't quite sure that I was going to get what I got, but if that was what God wanted, if that was what God had, then so be it. And then from there on to 30 years later, I didn't see that coming 30 years down the road. But that simply shows you the way God works in the heart of a child of God when you trust Him. That was the principle of what He's teaching. And God in heaven help us to see that. But it's not going to happen if we don't stay faithful and keep bringing those requests before the Lord. One more time. It's not rocket science. It's the Word of God. And because there is one, I believe, glorious, just marvelous, comprehensive invitation that I've appealed to again and again and again and again and again and again and again in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he does it. It will work in your heart and in your life. It worked in mine. And so this wise centurion here was very, very, very wise to where he brings his trouble to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse number 7 with me, because I noticed something here in this verse as well. Because Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Now there's the answer he received. I'm not sure he was expecting that answer that quickly. I really don't know. But I do believe that he had faith enough to come and ask him. And so if he had faith enough to come and ask, I believe he had faith enough to know that the Savior would heal him. He wouldn't have come in the first place if he didn't have the faith. But at once, at the very beginning, all right, he says, I'll come. I'll do what you've asked me to do. And now to me, this is something that I saw here not too long ago, because to me, this always it shows me here that the Savior is wanting to meet our needs. And you, matter of fact, you want to do something for a spiritual exercise, even for a devotion. Take your Bible in your devotion time and go through a list of various things. For instance, go through a list like for a promise of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. A cleansing from sin. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, there's all kind of promises in the Word of God that will help us and to see that when we come to the Lord and we ask of the Lord will do what we ask Him to do. Guidance, direction. I quoted Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Psalm 32, verse 8. I mean, there's a ton of them you can go through. Victory, one of the songs I love. And incidentally, let me say this one more time. I love your music at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Those old hymns that we're singing, God bless your heart, they just warm my soul every time I listen to you guys sing. And thank God for us singing church, Tommy. And when you don't like the way they're doing it, you do what you did tonight. I mean, come after them like a bull in a china shop. Amen. And all God's people said amen. Don't you let them go to sleep on you. They're Baptists, you know that, and you've got to work at it sometimes. One of the songs I love is there's victory in Jesus. I'm on the winning side. Listen, I tell folks this all the time. I cheated. I read the last chapter. We win. Don't forget that. But here we see a verse of Scripture that tells us that the Savior will do what we ask Him to do. Centurion, I got a servant. He's next. He's dying. Will you heal him? I'll come and do it. Now notice this, because when you come down to verse number 8 and verse number 9, it's interesting to see what takes place there. Because here's the Savior saying, I will come and heal him. The centurion, his response is, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to the man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And I see here three things very, very quickly that jumped out at me, because the man's admission of his unworthiness right away. He didn't come into the Savior thinking, you know, hey, Lord, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. No, he came in a matter of humbleness. He came in a matter of humility. He was coming into the presence of the God who created the world. And incidentally, that's a good idea for us to still remember. Some of this nonsense that's going on in our churches under the name of worship is a joke. It's a sham. It's just heartbreaking to see what we're seeing take place in some of our churches today. And the sad part about it is we got the preachers submitting to it. We got the preachers going along with it, rather than some of them standing up and saying, "Hey, wait a minute, folks, we're not going there." That's what you want in your man of God. You don't want a yes man in your pulpit. That's free. It's not in the notes, but that's just free. But I see here is admission of unworthiness. But then when I start reading here, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed here." Now that's what I call great faith. I see here it is great faith. And then, notice verse number 9, when he says, "For I am a man under authority, and having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to this man, come, and he cometh, and to this servant, do, and he doeth it." I see here his common sense. I see here him understanding and realizing and recognizing that he was a man that had some intelligence. The centurion, you see, he had not only 100 men that was under his authority, but he also had an individual who he was under. And so as he expected those under him to do as he requested, he understood he was doing what the guy above him was doing. I don't know if he was over 200 or 500 or whatever he was, but I do know that he had individuals who was over him. And always remember this, that Jesus, when he was here on earth, was under the authority of his Father, who had given him all authority. And the centurion, he could capture the significance of that. He could understand that. And then you continue on down through the passage and you go there to verse number 13. And here's another thing. Because when you come to verse 13 and it says, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour." Well, what you see there is the miracle that this guy is witnessing. He was actually witnessing a very, good, honest miracle that was coming to pass, just on the basis of what he was saying here. The measure of my faith, the measure of your faith, I believe will determine the blessings of God that come into our life. If we will demonstrate by faith, trusting God, believing that God is leading, God is directing, and if this is what you want me to do, God, then by your grace I'm going to do it, we will receive blessing upon blessing. When God called me to preach and we sold our home and we paid off all of our debts and we pulled up that moving van and we put our furniture on the moving van and we sent it off to Chattanooga, Tennessee. We didn't owe a soul in this world. We had every debt paid, had $700 in the bank, and we drove out of Miami, Florida and headed for Chattanooga. Didn't know where we were going to live, didn't know where we were, didn't have a job, didn't know anything like that. But I just knew God had called me to preach, and I knew that was what God wanted me to do. And thank God I had a wife who was there supporting me all the way. Amen. We drove into Chattanooga, Tennessee. We stayed in a motel for a couple of days, got a newspaper, found an old house for $35 a month. Well, you got to remember, Lincoln was president then, and things were a little cheaper, but... But it was quite a house. It was built back in the Civil War. Matter of fact, our son Rick was a year and a half old at that time. And the living room, it had wood floors. And we didn't have any carpet, so the wood floor was there. But Rick, he had these little cars. and he'd get on one end of the living room, and he'd say, "Daddy, watch." And he'd let that car go, and the car would roll all the way down, because that whole floor was at about a 5-degree angle. Rick thought it was the greatest thing in the world. He had more fun with that than you could shake a stick at in the month of Sundays. He was always had his cars running. The only problem he had, he rolled his bicycle off the porch and busted up his lip one time. But anyhow, we rented that house for $35 a month. And I finished my college and I got a job. My first job, here I am, been working for Southern Bell Telephone Company for 8.5 years. And my first job is I'm driving a little what they call Melody ice cream truck with a little song on it, and I tell you, Doc, I wouldn't change that for the world. I got so sick and tired of that song, I put cotton in my ears. And I'm going up into Soddy Daisy where you could smell the moonshine when you got up into the mountains. And I'm selling nickel ice cream and pints of ice cream. And you know, in the summertime it was a great job. My business dried up in the fall. So I had to find another job. So I got a job at Western Auto. But I say all that to say this. I got my college degree. I was planning to leave school. I wanted to be a preacher before I was a grandfather. So I decided I'll just get my college out of the way. And then my plan was I was going to go back to Miami and live in Miami and go back to my home church, First Baptist Church of Westwood Lake, where my preacher, Dr. Marvin Mokenauer, was pastor. And matter of fact, he wouldn't have been mad at me if I did it, because his plan was for me to come back even after I finished seminary, but the Lord had other plans. But anyhow, then God lays on my heart the seminary, and I pray about it, and the Lord opens up all the doors, so we stay for seminary. And I graduate from seminary, and then God says, "Well, I'm not done with you yet. You're going further north." So he sends me up to Minneapolis, Minnesota, another 1,000 miles away. But here's the thing I want you to see. When I drove into Chattanooga, Tennessee to get my education, because God called me to preach, how much money did I have in the bank? How much? $700. Well, for you, you're listening. That's good. And, well, it's a Baptist church. And I've got all my education out of the way. We don't owe any money. No money. Except we had bought a car. And I still had a couple of payments on the car. Because in the last 2.5 years that I was in seminary, I pastored one of the chapels in addition to our ministry at the children's home that we were in. And it was 60 miles, 120 miles round trip to the chapel every. And I was doing that Wednesday and Sunday and going over and soul winning on Saturday. But other than that, no bills. And would you care to guess how much money we had in the bank? $700. You say, "Boy, you sure were lucky." No, I just serve a God who says he'll do what he says he'll do. He said, "Meet my needs." And he met all my needs. That's what this is all about. This is about understanding what God says he wants you and me to be. We measure our faith. And the way we measure our faith will determine the blessings that God will pour out upon our lives. That's one of the reasons why I get so frustrated with people when they fight this thing of tithing, they fight this thing of faith, promise, mission, giving. They don't understand their Bibles. They just simply don't get it. They're using that human thinking. And that's the worst thing. They're David all over, preacher. I'll build God the house. No. God's the one who is leading. And he's not giving that leadership over to any of us. So get it out of your mind. Forget about it. It's harmful. It is a dangerous thing for any child of God to come to the place in their life where they believe they can conduct or direct their own life. We are not our own, beloved. We have been bought with a price. He purchased us with His blood. And we need to understand that. I've always said it this way: little faith, little blessing. That's the way I believe it is. More faith, more blessing. You don't change it. Great faith, great blessing. God will be true to what He says in His Word. This centurion had great faith, and I can picture him on his way home. I mean, as he's walking back to his home, I just believe with all my heart, he knew already what was going to take place when he would arrive. I believe he was walking. He wasn't walking just lollygagging. He was walking, boy, with some energy and with some movement. He was just excited to get home to see that servant well. Because Jesus said, "I will heal him." He believed him. And bless God, if He did it for that centurion, He'll do it for you and me. If we'll believe Him. Keep building that faith. Don't stop building your faith. That's why this old book is so vital. Faith cometh by hearing, and by the Word of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And would you stand with me for prayer, church? And let's ask God to work in our hearts and lives. What a powerful message this evening that Dr. Davidson preached. My soul, the Holy Spirit of God was all over this old sinner saved by God's grace. I don't know what your need tonight is. But if you're satisfied with your faith and you believe that you're growing in your faith, you thank God for that. But if you need to grow some more, let's ask God to work in every one of our hearts and lives. Piano will play a song of invitation. God is speaking to you. You come. God bless you. God bless every one of you. Dad, mother, Sunday school teacher, bus worker. Oh, God help us. God help us. Lord, we wait before You as the instruments play and as the Spirit of God works. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for oh, God, how great You are. And I do pray that You'd help us, Father. Help us to be a people of faith. To continue to grow it. God, to continue to demonstrate it. As You tarry Your coming. Our heads are bowed. Folks are here. Do you need to come and join them? Young lady, young man? Couple? How about it, husband? Taking that little bride by the hand and saying, let's go pray about this thing of faith. Maybe you've been dealing with the matter of the tithe. Maybe you've been dealing with faith promise, you know, struggling with it. You ain't got to struggle with what the Bible says, beloved. You need to believe it. Put God to the test. You'll be amazed what He'll do. He's done it in my life, I know that.